Real Nerds is a proud partner of the Denver Podcast Network. In the shadow of the mountains,
we speak.
Hello, everybody. I'm JD Lopez, the host of Left Hand, Right Brain. It's a free-flowing, wide-ranging conversation that I have with artists doing interesting and creative things here in Denver and beyond. We talk about their personal stories, break down their creative process, and what motivates them. Spoiler alert, it's mostly spite. We talk about all these things and more while kicking back, cracking wise, and always having a good time. You can find old episodes and everything you need to know at lefthandrightbrainpod.com.
Oh, hi podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
I'm Andre Gower.
And I'm Ryan Lambert.
And you're listening to
Real Nerds Podcast.
Hey everybody, here's an exciting Real Nerds interview that we did at Denver Comic Con 2018. Hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to Real Nerds Podcast, live from Denver Comic Con 2018. I'm here with Crystal Lloyd. Yeah. Crystal, say hello for the folks.
Hi, everybody out there.
So you are, first of all, I want to comment, you are doing some Rosie the Riveter type cosplay, if I'm right?
That is correct.
And you have a sign with you.
I have a sign that says, we can do it.
Yep.
Which is the sign that goes with the original character.
Yep, of Rosie the Riveter.
Rosie the Riveter in 1940s World War II.
Yep, which if listeners weren't aware, like when all the men folk went to war, the women went to work, and they did a better job than the men. End of story. you came from here from out of state, though.
Yeah. No, I came here from Arizona. First of all, I love Denver Comic Con. This is my second year here. And part of it is escaping because it's 110 degrees in Arizona. So,
what better excuse to go to a con than to escape the heat?
My friends were like, "We're really sorry that it's raining in Denver." I'm like, "I'm not. It's great." So, but yeah. I'm inside all day anyway. So.
The best response is just like, "Are you kidding? I'm Gene Kellying all over the place, just like getting that umbrella out." Debbie Reynolds know how I feel about her. Stuff like that. It's a great
well,
day.
I think the thing that surprised me here was that it started raining and nobody looked up. Because we look up when it rains in Arizona, because that's weird.
No, we, like, being here, like, we kind of expect it during the summer. It's just as natural. It's the only time it's really inconvenient is if you're driving or if you were, like, you know, taking the light rail and suddenly,
yeah, somebody needs to buy stock in windshield wiper blades here.
I need to buy a psychic that can tell me when it's going to happen. You know, like, is Madame Cleo still around? Like, I don't know. We could try to figure that out.
Can't help you with that one.
But so I have a question regarding, like, because these cons, obviously starting with San Diego Comic-Con, the Mecca, if you will.
Right.
And then expanding out to New York and now coming to here. And I know Phoenix has their own conventions that kind of happened earlier in the year, I want to say.
Actually, it was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks? Oh, really?
Yeah. So they call it Fan Fest or Fusion. They've changed the name because of the lawsuit.
Oh, really?
So now they're Phoenix Fan Fusion.
Oh, really?
Slightly smaller than this convention, just a little bit.
But it's still got its own, like, audience and people going to it.
Oh, definitely, yeah. But the thing I've noticed that's different about Denver Comic Con is there is a lot of cosplay at all conventions, at this type of convention. But this one is particularly supportive. Mm-hmm. And what I like about that is it's a little less competitive and it's more about, oh, I like what you did, rather than... Where in Phoenix, it's like, oh, I could do that.
Yeah, mutual admiration as opposed to, I'll kill you.
Yeah, and also, I think support for people that are learning, and I think that's important. Because there are a lot of people who are just starting out making costumes, and they don't know everything, and they've come in here to take classes, and they're learning those things. And we got to support those people because those are the future costumers of the world.
And that's a lot of help via the pop culture classrooms and just also the people who... come to Denver Comic Con in order to learn, as opposed to just not, it's not just, you know, picking up your Batman t-shirt or your rare issue of Aquaman. It really is about kind of engaging in that creative interest that you have, which, you know, you, I mean, we're talking cosplay and whatnot, you know, like, what got you into that, like, mode of, like, appreciation for it?
For cosplay?
Yeah.
You know, I think it goes way back to when I was a kid and you wanted to have that Halloween costume, you know, that looked like a thing. But, you know, back then we didn't have, we couldn't see a movie 20 or 30 times unless you rented it, you know. So we didn't have that exposure to characters all over and over. So it was more like putting on the costume and pretending we knew what was going on. And as we get older and DVDs came and all the, you know, VHS and then DVDs, we had this opportunity to learn a character and really, like, say, okay, I want to play that. I want to be that. But I did want to say one of the reasons that I'm wearing Rosie the Riveter today is partly educational. And I didn't really realize that when I chose it. But it was, I was looking for different characters that I could play, that I could cosplay. And this may not come as a shock to some of your listeners, but it's actually hard to find female characters that are wearing clothing. And I'm not 20 anymore, so...
Men suck, guys. I'm sorry to break that bubble. But no, anyway, go on.
But so then, like, when I got in here today and somebody had commented early on, like, oh, that's so obscure. And I said, well, it is, but it is a pop culture reference. And then, you know, 20, 30, 40 people recognized and went, I got thumbs up all day long. And I thought to myself, well, this is an opportunity to educate people about other representations that are out there.
That's true, because it's not just, like, I think, and I learned this very early on when I went to San Diego a lot when I was younger in high school and stuff.
Yeah.
The term Comic-Con is almost kind of like just a flash title to really get you into the term pop culture con.
Yeah.
And, like, so, and actually it's interesting because you do Rosie the Riveter and whatnot. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, you know, if you look deep into the con, you'll see, like, pop culture references from other avenues and stuff like that. Like, I'm not saying, like, I'm a Jack Benny fan. I'm not saying I'm going to cosplay as Jack Benny.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, that's technically pop culture. And you can find those things that expand beyond the normal tropes of a Wonder Woman or, you know, recently a Guardians of the Galaxy.
And with the recent movement with people talking about powerful female figures in movies and in television and in comic books, I wanted to come back and say, you know, these characters have been here, and they're not new. It's just we're getting a new exposure and a new appreciation for them.
Right.
So you know, Wonder Woman was a very powerful figure in when she first came out. And now we're back and we're like, Wonder Woman's a powerful figure. and I love to see all the variances and the mashups. I'm especially appreciative of mashups. I just do not have the courage for that. If I like easily recognizable immediately, this is what it is. I'm actually a costumer. I do costuming for theater. So I'm that insane person that gets the photo stills and sits there drawing it out and getting it. I actually recently did a Doctor Strange costume for my husband, and fortunately he happens to look a bit like Doctor Strange, so that helps. But I spent over 40 hours building the cape to get all of the checkered boards and everything correct, because that's part of the love for me, is can we do this and can we represent it and can people see it and go, oh my God, that looks just like it. That's the excitement for me. It's not so much the appreciation of character as getting that right within the environment like this, where it's really supportive and people are like, oh, I love that character, and they feel that feeling, that mutual fandom together.
And being that you're within that realm of having that experience in costumes, do you like that? Now, do you just do stuff for your immediate people around you, or do you
No, I do actually do costuming. I do costume for local theater in Arizona, and then I also do costuming for, you know, professionally. So I do cosplays for people.
What got you truly into taking this into the more professional route as opposed to just the amateur route?
That's a funny question, because I worked at a Renaissance Festival for 15 years.
Nice, which is happening right now at the same time.
Oh, Colorado Springs, right?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Oh, I wish I had more time in my weekend. but I made costumes for it, and I worked it, and I had to make my costumes. And I got so much repetition in making costumes that eventually the sewing just became part of it. And then I said, well, I was really fascinated by how cosplay you know, 20 years ago, that was like, only strange people do that, you know.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it became, oh, cool people do that. And so then I started to see, well, can I make something else other than these historical pieces? And so then when movies, especially Marvel, was a big pull for me because the costumes were so intricate and interesting. So then I just kept moving forward, and I keep, every year I keep challenging myself to do harder and harder stuff. I recently made a commissioned Cuphead mascot piece, and I had never made mascot heads before. And Cuphead is not an easy thing to make. It looks really simple, but you got to have three-dimensional moving around with the straw. You know who Cuphead is? It's a video game.
No, right. No, someone was telling me about this character.
Yeah, it's done in the traditional 1920s Walt Disney style.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he looks like a cup of milk with a straw coming out and a handle out the back, and he has a face, you know, his facial expressions.
Someone posted a picture of this to my wall once and said, you'd like this, so that's what that is. Wow.
Yeah.
So that must have been difficult then, knowing the design of that character.
Well, because it wasn't about sewing. It was about, can I realistically create this three-dimensional piece from a 2D art piece?
Right, which then forces you to get more creative with, I mean, obviously beyond sewing, but also just basic construction.
Yeah, I had to learn foam construction. I had to learn, you know, where you put eyes and mouths to be able to speak, and how hot mascot heads can be. And I ended up watching, honestly, YouTube has been a great help. YouTube's been a great help with those little things that you're just not quite sure about. And I definitely encourage people, if they're learning how to build cosplay, to watch YouTube tutorials.
No joke, when the week before the con, our lovely Brad here was getting his cosplay ready, which he'll be debuting tomorrow. He went up to me and he's like, do you know how to cut hair so that it's so and so and so and so? Because he had this wig for his cosplay to make it work perfect. And giving my typical answer was like, I don't know. I've never cut my own hair in my life unless it was with a buzzer. So sure enough, just went right to YouTube.
Yeah.
And got that tutorial and just kind of did it quick within, 15 minutes roughly?
Yeah.
So it is interesting, how that, within you, creating that cosplay, you know, you can still defer those things and even try to go beyond.
Oh, and we're always expanding our knowledge. That's the thing. Like, even doing Rosie, which is really just an assembly costume. It's just built, you know, it's just getting pieces together. But there's actually tutorials on how to do a 40s style handkerchief tie for the Rosie head.
So that is specific to that.
It's a specific style. And I admire those people even more. The ones that went and did the research and said, I'm going to present this so other people know how. And I love those. I love that. You know, the community has very supportive in that regard as well.
Yeah.
And so coming here to the conventions, it's not so much for me about, let me take your picture. I like that, but it's more about, the nod from people like, yeah, I gotcha. I get that. That was well done, you know.
Yeah. No, I agree. When I went, the first time I went to a con, we didn't have, it was, the cosplay thing was, relegated to that few, and it has expanded so far over the years. Now YouTube stars are cosplayers.
Yeah.
Know? It's great. I love to see that creativity that people get into. I saw one cosplayer coming down the exhibit hall.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, it was as if though they combined the Halo Master Chief characters with Winnie the Pooh characters. So you had one that looked, they called them Piglet, and they had it spray painted on there like they were getting ready for Gears of War. And then you have one that looks like Tigger, and he's just he's got the armor all around him and then his snout sticking out. The only thing I didn't check to see if that Tigger had a tail. Because that would have been, I would have just said, can I get 500 pictures with you?
Oh.
I want to prove this is real. And that hybrid of
the mashups,
combining ideas just totally works.
And they're clever. They're so clever.
Oh, yeah.
That's something I really admire, because I'm about recreating stuff, but coming up with things that go together. I've seen Jack Sparrow Lumberjack before. Sirius Black Widow. I mean, just really fun stuff that people have done.
Awesome. Well, can anybody find your work or some of the designs you've seen? Do you have a website or anything?
Well, you can check out Costumes by Crystal on Facebook.
costumes by Crystal.
Yeah, and I do post pictures of my cosplay as well as the pieces that I'm making. And I also post things in progress because I think I guess it demystifies a little bit, but it's also like there's a process to all of these things that happen.
Yeah, it kind of gives getting the novice step by step, like teach others the things you've learned and kind of pass it on.
Well, and then there's also like the, hey, look, I actually figured it out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Crystal, for coming down and talking to us. You've just been listening to Crystal Lloyd talking about cosplay on Denver Comic Con's Real Nerds Live.
Thanks for listening to another fantastic interview at Denver Comic Con 2018. We had an amazing time, and we look forward to seeing you again next year.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Real Nerds Podcast. Real Nerds Podcast is a production of Nebulous Visions Multimedia. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill and Plan 9 Studios for our kick-ass theme song. Also, if you're in the Denver area and you're looking for a cool place to see movies, we see them at the Alamo Draft House in Littleton and now also in Sloan's Lake. Thank you to Colorado Coins, Cards, and Comics for supplying us with all our comic needs, especially you, Andrew. You know who you are. And a big shout out to James's mom. I'm giving you an electronic hug that you can feel through the airwaves. Thanks for listening, and have a nice day.